All right. Well, we've finished Exodus and how God delivered his people from slavery and into a covenant with them. And now we're going to study Leviticus, and it's going to describe to us how we as his redeemed people are to live. And two things, God is not only interested in our freedom, but he's interested in how we live once we're set free. Now, saying that, how would you feel if we had to bring offerings to the church? But what if we had to do like these people did?
I've talked about that so much. All that bloody stuff they have. Terrible thought.
We just wouldn't bring it. I just wouldn't bring it. I'm smart.
But if you was used to doing it.
If you were accustomed to doing it, yeah, it wouldn't bother you.
That's all we knew. We do it.
Mm-hmm.
And then we live in the city. We don't have no land.
But well, you could bring what you had.
Yeah, we'd have to go buy first time, but not.
But a special occasion you go to. If you go to a wedding, you expect to go to a reception, and you expect food.
We do, you know, we have the clothes closet, and we have the family.
That's sacrificial giving, and then we help others. But on that thought, if you went to a wedding, and then you went to the reception, and you walked in, and they had hot dogs and potato chips, how would you feel?
We had Chris's hot dogs at Kara's wedding.
Well,
as
long
yeah.
as they got sauerkraut, I'd be fine.
But would it make it less memorable to you, or more?
Oh, you remember because you say, oh my gosh, all they had at their reception was hot dogs.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you should let it bother you. Maybe that's not
all. No, they have.
But we're bad about when we're invited somewhere, you know, where are we going to have to eat? You know, or we have supper on Wednesday night. What do they got there? So we're bad about doing that anyway.
Wednesday night supper, you know ahead of time, but what if it was every Wednesday night was just a
surprise
potluck?
That sounds like a winner to me. Why don't you try that, Annie?
Surprise.
Mm-hmm. It's like this week at Crop. They had said we were going to have fried fish, baked beans, coleslaw, and hush puppies. Well, when they paid their money and went through the line, they had grilled boiled fish on rice and green beans.
A little bit different.
There was a lot of disappointed people.
Yeah.
They got their money back, yeah. A lot of them did.
What was that at?
Crump Center.
The Crump Center. But the five major offerings, we're going to talk about the burnt offering, the grain offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and then the guilt offering. Now, not so much on the guilt, but it'll come into play. But in Exodus chapter 1, verses 3 through 6, he tells them that if the offering is a burnt offering from the herd, the shepherd is to offer a male without defect. He must present it at the entrance to the tent of meeting so that it will be acceptable to the Lord. He is to lay his hand on the head of the burnt offering and it will be accepted on his behalf. To make atonement for him, he is to slaughter the young bull before the Lord, and then Aaron's sons and the priest shall bring the blood and sprinkle it against the altar on all sides at the entrance to the tent of the meeting. It says, then he is to skin the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. And we'll stop right there. But like Annette said, what if you're going to a religious ceremony. You're going to the tent of the meeting. You've built this beautiful place. And then they're going to splatter blood all over the entrance. How would it upset you? Or would you accept this as the resemblance of God giving his son who shed his blood for us? It's your way of becoming part of him and meeting him one-on-one.
It's like you said long ago, these people were used to this. This
yep.
is their lifestyle. This is what they did. So where we, the blood, like, and, you know, look at science that's all the way through now, we know that blood can cause diseases
mm-hmm.
just by touching them. We know that now, but they didn't know anything then. And they were used to that. Whereas with us, we just sort of freak out because there's such a background on what blood can cause.
Mm-hmm. True.
They still do that on them foreign countries to this day.
I don't know, but probably some countries they probably do certain rituals like that.
If they don't know Christ,
then that's not.
But Jesus was sacrificed for us.
Mm-hmm.
For all of us.
Mm-hmm.
But they do things. I mean, like we talked about, like India, where the cows are so sacred. You know, stuff like that. They still have that. Mentality, but that they think that
different
than we did. Yeah, their mindset is so where, you know, it's like cow.
Is it still they still have the old part of Jerusalem, or has it been
bad? I couldn't tell you.
But even if it was old, as we've progressed, you don't know that just because if you live in the older part of Jerusalem that you didn't progress too.
Mm-hmm.
That you quit doing the.
Well, I mean, if you go in, I mean, the Jewish religion, even today, they have certain things they do, like getting closer to Christmas. I don't know all their things, but, you know, they, what's called Lent, but, you know, they go through a certain thing where they prepare certain foods and,
yeah, mm-hmm. Like the Jewish people have candles and
mm-hmm.
Have little potato cakes and something mm-hmm. else they make, I don't remember.
But the writer kind of points out, if I was the male bringing the cow in and I placed my hand on his head, that's to symbolize that he died in my place. He died with me. It did take place in the courtyard and the blood. But then when they skin it, cut into pieces, clean it, everything was burned except for the hide, and that was given to the priest. Now, another part will come later about the priest, but do you think the priest took those as, is that how maybe they clothed themselves? They took the hides, and that was an offering to them. Mm-hmm. Because otherwise they had no income. Because it says the burnt offering was a reminder of the seriousness of sin. It's also a reminder of God's gracious plan to us to atone us for our sins. But why couldn't they just bring any animal? It had to be a male. No blemishes. Because if we take it, the only other person that was perfect like that was Jesus. And he was... Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But now the grain offering, in chapter 2, it says when somebody brings a grain offering to the Lord, his offering is to be a fine flour. He has to pour oil on it and put incense on it and take it to Aaron's sons, the priest.
What kind of incense?
That's what I wondered, thinking about it, was it, I mean, in one scripture I read here, it says put frankincense, which is kind of an aroma to give it a little smell or flavor. But it said the priest should take a handful of the fine flour and oil together with all the incense, and burn this as a memorial portion on the altar. Mine says whatever, incense. But the priest also took a portion of that offering to eat for themselves. And this writer pointed out that that was a, quote, significant part of the priest's income. It nourished them, it helped them.
It also says something about they took the two kidneys and the liver, and you had to leave the fat on it.
Mm-hmm, that's coming in the guilt offering, I believe. It's coming in another part. It's kind of the same, but a little bit of difference in comparison.
And in my Bible, the frankincense, so it I guess because we're talking about sacrifice and what you have and don't have, but the frankincense, it says by including frankincense in this offering, wait a minute, as an imported luxury, frankincense had to be bought with money.
So I mean, you had to buy the money.
So that would be another sacrifice. If you pay for something, you had to buy the frankincense to go in that and give to the priest.
Mm-hmm.
So that's like two sacrifices, using your money to put this and then using the flour to give to them.
And the olive oil.
From but it also... It's sort of a semblance too that the Lord is of sustenance to us. He's there for us, to protect us, to provide for us, so we offer back to Him. Now, a question comes up. It says, how does our offering our entire lives to God relate to our gratitude for His sacrifices for our sins? And in reading is, so to speak, we'll get into the sin part, but when are you at have the most peace about you in your life? So you see these sacrifices put you in tune with Him. If you didn't do it, would you be blessed? Or would maybe some of these residents, let's say, or the people that God has led, you know, I'm okay now, you've brought me out, but now you're trying to show me how to live with you, but I'm happy just like I am, so I'm not going to do this. Would they be punished in any way?
Or, don't you think at some point we've all been away?
Oh, yeah.
We've stepped back, and it doesn't, because bad things happen in our lives, doesn't mean God's punishing us.
Mm-mm.
But, you know, the further we are away from Him, the less peace we have in our life. We don't have that security.
Mm-mm.
Well, in these offerings, He wants the best for us. We're given the best to Him that we have, and He, in return, is blessing us because we're giving Him the best.
Mm-hmm.
Or we're striving to give Him the best. Because, you know, I mean, you think about it. What if you couldn't afford the frankincense? Or what if in all of your livestock you didn't have anything that was had something that was a blemish? I mean, what if? I mean, there's so many questions. But even by striving to give Him our best, because we fail every day, we sin every day. But by giving Him our best, or striving to give Him our best, you receive the blessing.
Maybe they had to do what they had.
Yeah, we're going to get it. The fellowship offering kind of brings that out. But
when we give our best to God, we are rewarded. But if we didn't give Him our best, that's like holding a piece back in your heart that you did not give to God.
Mm-hmm.
That tells you in the Bible, you give sparingly, you will get sparingly, you know, what you give and what you will get back.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean you give the best you've got. does not mean my best might not be as good as these best.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever I've got is
my best.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's like when the widow gave the mic, you know. Mm-hmm.
She gave.
I want to be like this person. You know, he had more, but she gave her best, right. And she gave her all.
It's
mm-hmm.
better all. Than not. Just saying, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not doing anything.
I can but remember when my daddy used to give tomatoes, bushels of tomatoes, corn, feed.
To other people.
To the preacher, you know. Every year, when the first thing he'd come in, he would get a big bushel of tomatoes and give him. And we didn't have a lot of money, but we raised a lot of food. And so he would just load a truck, load down. Uh-huh.
My daddy used to make hot peppers. And he took them everywhere. Well, he got his car feet to the church, to the preacher, and they were good.
Daddy didn't make them. He just give them. Then they do what he
wants. No, he just gave them away. He'd take baskets, like you said, tomato. He had a little garden in his backyard. Tomatoes and okra and stuff. Then he got where he couldn't work in his garden.
Just like you go back to the wedding where they had the hot dogs, maybe that's all the people could
afford. That's true. I just brought that out. Just.
But,
yep.
I'm hungry now.
But the third offering is the fellowship offering. Now, compared it to the burnt offering, chapter 3, this tells us that he offers an animal from the herd, but it could be male or female, not strictly a male, and you present it to the Lord without defect. And you go through the same procedures. You lay your hand on it. It's slaughtered at the entrance of the tabernacle, and the blood is splattered. But then, like you brought out, the fat that surrounded all the kidneys and the liver and all was placed on the altar along with the other meats to be burnt. But it says it, to give a pleasant aroma to the Lord. But one part about this is you were able to sit down with the priest and eat a portion of this meat, symbolizing God's goodness to us, that He is taking, you're getting back from Him also. It's not that you're just continuously giving, but the Lord is sitting, or you're sitting down like one-on-one with Him and enjoying this.
He blesses you in another way.
Mm-hmm. It also, this writer brings out that not only were your family involved, but also the poor.
The what?
The poor. So those that maybe couldn't bring anything to be sacrificed, they were a part of this meal also. They were not forgotten. So you did have a time and a place to help others, like we share with others, like the food closet. You know, it's not just strictly set aside for us here on Wednesday nights at church to cook and eat. We have people that maybe can't afford to buy it, so we share with them.
And it's also kind of like, if you fast forward, I mean, if they didn't do this, how would you ever get to interact with the priest if you
mm-hmm.
didn't do it first? So then you fast forward to the New Testament, and the way the Lord's life was on earth while He was here, He was with all kind of people too, even the poor that couldn't afford, you know, the children, the lepers.
Mm-hmm.
So they had an opportunity in the Old Testament to be the priest and then go to the New Testament, and the Lord opened the doors up for everybody to be able to be a part of His life, and that's what He does. That doesn't matter who we are, what we have, we still have the same opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But back then, though, didn't they raise more animals than they had gardens? I mean,
I'm sure. I mean,
pigeons and stuff too, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. You could bring, so I read somewhere that
even if you, you know, if you didn't have an animal such as a cow or a lamb, you could bring a bird. Whatever you had in proportion to what you were giving. Mm-hmm. But it blends on in from there to the sin offering. Now, the writer points out the sin offering was mandatory. It was made by one who sinned unintentionally or was unclean in order to attain purification. Now, we talk about sin. Like B said, we sin unintentionally. I mean, do you know anybody that's never had any thoughts, any bad things, or any sin in their life? Maybe one person, Jesus. But what does sin do? Destroys people, destroys your soul, destroys your thinking. It can become deadly. But not only you, but it can destroy people in this room. Families can be destroyed.
I don't know how atheists, is that what you're calling them?
Mm-hmm.
They don't believe in heaven or hell. How do you think everything got here?
Big explosion.
Just had
the explosion. The Big Bang Theory.
Mm-hmm.
It just exploded and happened.
Because when we think about, I mean, we can all go back to when we were children. Is the world today a different place than it was when you were a child? Is it more corrupt? Is it more corrupt?
Yes. We got more people.
Is our society warped?
People more free with what they say, mm-hmm. what they do, and I say back in the olden days.
Well, TV, everything gets on the news and it gets twisted.
But can we say that sin has caused this?
The devil's busy everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. He's working.
He's been busy on my street this whole week. They're going to kill him right by 4 streets up from my house.
Oh, my goodness.
On Federal Drive.
On Federal Drive, up there on the Sumter's. One of them streets up there going toward the Coliseum.
Oh, yeah,
one
Sumter up there.
Yeah. Well, and somebody got shot right in front of the courthouse.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah, it was a couple weeks ago.
I think the gun situation and the killing in Montgomery is getting bad. Yeah. You get where you're scared to go anywhere.
But
I like to move to the woods.
But is there a misunderstanding or a not knowing when we say God hates the sin but loves the sinner? Can people twist that? Because can you just say it without an understanding of really what sin does? I mean, you can just, he'll be all right. God loves him. Well, he does love him.
But you have people that, in children grow up, they don't know him because their families didn't go to church.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't take them to church.
Mm-hmm. But he hadn't forgot about them. That's the big thing. Because sin doesn't cause sin. Sinners cause sin.
And Satan. He can speak.
Mm-hmm. Because back in Psalms, this is chapter 7, verse 11, it says, God is a righteous judge and a God who shows his wrath against sinners every day. I mean, is it wrong to think that God punished someone for their sins? He's given us the book of instructions of life, I'll call it. And if you don't believe it and you don't deviate from it and you have nothing to do with it, is he just going to just look away on your life?
If you turn your back on God, he's
going to turn back on you. Mm-hmm. Because God's wrath can be poured out on the ungodly and unrighteous people. Are we experiencing maybe some of his wrath today?
Mm-hmm. Whatever you call it, mm-hmm. It's here.
Would say
and
so.
It might go on for another 1,000 years.
We don't know. We don't know. But it
man,
leads.
I feel like they're destroying the, what do you call it, the ozone. They say like the ice melting and all that stuff in the air. I mean,
no, that's
you know, the coal factories from rockets in the air.
No matter what happens, God is in
control.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I know.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also hear people talking about where it's we are seeing in people's minds. Like hell on earth.
Yeah.
Because of the like the deaths and the destruction and the, I mean the way people treat each other. And we talk mm-hmm. about sin and you know because we kind of brought it up about the murder or the shooting. I mean that's a to me that's a humongous sin. I mean you know because that's just something. But we sin every day in other ways that are just mm-hmm. as hurtful to him as killing somebody with a gun. Just our everyday life the way we act.
Mm-hmm.
Where we don't acknowledge him, or you know, we're ashamed to let people know that we believe because we don't want to be ridiculed. To him, that's just as bad as me pulling the trigger for somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know God knows everything, and we all sitting right here in this room this morning, we know most of our young crime is young black on blacks right now in Montgomery. But I just wonder where that big man is sitting right here in Montgomery. He may be sitting in one of the biggest churches in Montgomery this morning. There's some big man here in this town that has to furnish these kids all those drugs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the one that I hope God punishes. The one that gives these kids these drugs. Gets them on it and gets them out there selling those drugs for the money and stuff.
Yes.
These kids could not get them drugs if there wasn't some big man here in town behind
them. There's probably more than one.
More than one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They want to blame everything to scientists. This is what's causing this. This is what's causing that. But yet some of them go to church. They don't understand what the Bible's saying.
That's what makes you feel good.
God knows where they are this morning.
Because we understand that ever since the beginning and ever since Jesus died on the cross, God's here on a rescue mission, constantly trying to save us. This writer, he has a little story. He, Bible school one year, he told all the kids, if you'll memorize John 3:16 and come see me and say the verse to me, I'll give you a Bible. So this one little fella came in, and right at the end, and instead of him saying that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life, he said he will have internal life. And he said he had to step back and think, okay, you were wrong in saying it, so let me show you that you were wrong, but... He said, the life we have in Jesus and his atoning sacrifice gives us eternal life. But where is this life first made known? Inside us. So the little fellow was correct. And he used that just to say that because of Jesus, we are made alive. So we both get eternal and internal life. So, two things. The studying the sacrificial system kind of tells us that God does take our sins seriously. It not only separates us from Him, but like we said earlier, it destroys us as individuals and our relationship with other people. And He did establish this sacrificial system to kind of serve like a foreshadowing of the sacrificial death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. It all pertains and relates to one another. But it says, most critical of all, there is no other way for sinners to be right with God than through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And I think that speaks loudly there, because can you just say, well, I'm leaving the church today, I'm not going to have anything to do with it anymore, but I'm still going to be all right. God loves me, so I don't have to do this anymore. I don't.
Well, but it's like the fellowship part, that's a major, to me, that's a huge factor in our Christian life, is being with other people that are Christians.
Mm-hmm.
The strength that you draw from them, or the circumstances that's happened in your life, and you share with me down the road, you start remembering that. She talked about how sick she was, and the Lord helped and heal her, or put people in her lives to help her. Or, you went through you lost your job, and your testimony made a difference in my life, because
mm-hmm.
I was facing that. So, I mean, that in itself, the fellowship, all that sacrifice and blood and all that, but there was a reason there. But we live in a society where we don't have to do that. And you do, you're already thankful that He died on the cross and did away with all those, because, I mean, you just think about, like you said, you started a lesson off. Did you bring your lamb to church tonight?
Hopefully you did. You can't see Him, but you brought Him with you.
Yes, in my heart. Mm-hmm. Like you said, internally, everything now that we have.
But I don't know about you, but it's not that I deal with people every day, but I'm dealing with customers, let's say. But when you're just waiting on someone or talking to them, and then you begin to pick up, this person is a Christian, and this your conversation, and I've had my hand grabbed many times, and people are patting you, or I'll pat their hands. How does that make you feel? That there is good out there. Yeah.
It makes you feel full.
But on the other hand,
we got more good than bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
We don't hear about the good,
but
we're after the bad.
No.
Don't share the good,
not the bad.
No.
I was just thinking as I was studying the lesson, they were talking about they bring their sacrifice. And it made me think, when they lay the hand, the priest lays the hand up, it reminded me when a pastor or a person is being ordained as a pastor, or is being a person is being ordained as a deacon,
mm-hmm.
and they lay the hands on. That reminded me of that. Is maybe that where that comes from?
It don't know. Could be, but the laying of the hands would be symbolic with that. Mm-hmm.
It just reminded me of that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know if that had anything to do with where that came from.
I don't know. It'd be something to look up.
Look it up in your big book.
I get mortally wounded. I know she might come back from next Sunday and worship than she is.
Right. Stay away from the big book then. Anyway, that was a good lesson, and I really, really enjoyed that.
So,
anybody have anything else to add?
I've got the.
Well, I'm proud to be back among everybody this morning.
Oh, glad to
be back.
Glad
to be back.
We'll be thinking about you tomorrow.
My mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight,
O Lord, my strength and my Redeemer.
Have a good week.